Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Bring us together. Now, those of you who've been studying and researching and into etymology, you know what Yeshua means. Yeshua means Yah saves. And Yah saves, Yeshua is also the name of Jesus. So we're going to drum in that truth one more time and ask Yeshua to bring us together on this topic of Jesus, going from Jesus to divine responsibility. Ooh, this is going to go into the rabbit hole just a little bit. But I had a very important question answered for me today from Spirit that you are going to love. So make sure your friends are online listening. Send them to Soul Purpose Healing Facebook Live or just tune in on 215-383-5863 or just go to the website www.blogtalkradio.com. /soulpurpose. One more time, let's do Becca Shea drumming in Yeshua. Bring us together. Glory on top of glory. Oh, that's how it happens when you have an intimate relationship with nature. Woohoo! My plants are talking to me. The birds are talking to me. Not to mention people everywhere. I'm having great conversations with people, developing my new YouTube channel, Beata's Tiny House Village. And so this just goes on, and it just gets keep getting better and better and better. So tonight, though, you're going to be so blessed tonight to know why so many people trust in the name of Jesus. I've been asking that question with all the knowledge I have and all the research I've done about the Kemet connection, you know, Egypt connection to religion and all that. And I'm like, why is it people are so connected to this name? And how is it this name has so much power in people's lives? You're going to find out the answer tonight. It was a surprise for me. Not really a surprise, but it was just a beautiful revelation that brought me to more understanding about this name, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. You're going to love it. And Yahshua is the Hebrew written in the ancient scriptures. Yahushua means Yah saves. So that's where Jesus comes from. But most people are not calling on Yahushua because Jesus has been promoted all these hundreds of years. But let me read something to you to get us started on this journey tonight. From Jesus to divine responsibility. In other words, kingdom responsibility. Self-responsibility. That's the goal. Self-responsibility. Instead of putting it all on Jesus, on the cross, saving you and all that, we want to move closer to self-responsibility, divine responsibility. That's difficult for some because that is somewhat blasphemous to some people, new age to some people. But we're going to break it all down tonight, and hopefully with your input, my listeners and those of you on Facebook and so forth, we're going to get subjective truth, which comes together to help us get closer to objective truth, because none of us are there yet. There's just too much going on in the universe right now, the metaverse, megaverse, that we're not at objective truth because we don't know everything yet. You haven't lived long enough. My father got close. This man got close to objective truth, 95 years on the planet. He was closer than any of us. But let me read something that my Facebook friend Kathy posted today or yesterday, I forget. And it sort of opened up the idea in my mind that we needed to talk about this. She's an author, and she's written a book about her relationship with the Most High, with Jesus and God and all that. She wrote a really good book about her relationship, and she put this on her Facebook page today. Everything, quote, everything Christians don't understand is demonic or, quote, new age. And she said, pray for God to show you the truth and keep quiet until he does. That quote on her, that post on her page generated probably hundreds of comments because everybody's protecting Jesus and Christianity and throwing out their beliefs about God, he. So I was like, whoa, this is, I made my own comments and we'll see where it goes, because my comment is basically everything Christians don't understand is demonic or New Age. That's just ignorance. That's just a lack of knowledge. Yeah, right. But she is being attacked because she's out there boldly proclaiming new truths in her life that are not lining up with traditional Christianity. So she's being attacked. So to pray for God to show you the truth is subjective. Yeah, the Creator is going to show you your truth. Whatever experience you've had, it's going to reveal your truth. That's subjective. So don't expect the Most High Creator of the universe to show you objective truth. It's not going to happen because you haven't lived long enough, for one. So let us not be dogmatic. Let us not be dogmatic about everything we experience and learn anymore. I was there. I've been there, done that. Let us not think we know everything, about especially about Jesus and God and the universe. We don't know everything yet. So pray for God to show you the truth and keep quiet until he does. We won't have anybody talking then. If we pray for God to show you the truth and keep quiet until he does, nobody should be talking, okay? Because the Creator is not going to show you the truth, the big capital T. We don't get that, but we do get little trinkets here and nuggets here and there of truth, T-R-U-T-A, little T. So that's what we want to dive into tonight. What is big truth? What is little truth? Who is this Jesus? And can we get to more divine inner self-responsibility? So the first half hour, I really want to just share with you some of the perspectives we've all had over our lifetime, from childhood to now, about Jesus and why it's time to grow up, okay? Let's just do that, say that. So here's one. I love this. It's about 2 minutes. The Bible story for children. Let's just listen in on what we all learned. Let's be reminded of where we are, all us adults, all you adults who are listening. Let's be reminded in this two-minute clip of the Bible study story that most of us heard in these Estados Unidos, United States of America. Because one of the issues we got to talk about today is the global truth. People over in India don't worship Jesus, okay? They got all kinds of gods they worship. That doesn't mean they're worse than we are or we're any better. That's what we're going to develop tonight is whoever's worshiping, whoever they're worshiping, let's just hope and pray to the Creator that they have peace and love in their hearts, whoever they're worshiping. And they're not running around shooting people. That's the whole relative to this subject, Jesus to divine responsibility. If you're worshiping Jesus and you're not going out buying a rifle and trying to kill 10 people in a school or something, okay, you're okay. Do your thing. Worship Jesus in your boxing, wherever you are, and just stay in peace. Let's not be expecting everybody to worship Jesus at some levels. But I want to start with tonight this little Bible story that we all grew up with and hope we can all mature tonight and go to the next level of divine responsibility. But let's listen. So the Bible story, can you hold me
up? Oh, he looked kind and he wears a robe. He has a beard and he has a mustache. He looks like dressed up in white. He's very bright. And he has long, blackish brown hair. It is curly and he has blue eyes.
He knows each one of us one by one and loves us all.
He likes us.
He is Heavenly Father's son.
Jesus is our brother.
What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
He is our Savior.
He sacrificed a lot. Like he got nails in his arms and died for all of us.
And he atoned for us.
And healed our alley.
He let me repent.
He is someone we can all look to for if we need an example of how to be.
He tells us to care about other people.
He'd warn people about stuff, like
and make sure they're all safe because he cares about each one of us.
I know when I pray, I feel comforted by him. It feels like he's giving me a hug.
He heals people. He makes it so the blind can see, and the people that can't walk, they can. So he makes it so they can walk, and that's pretty much all I know.
He wants us to follow the commandments, always pray and read our scriptures.
Be like him and help others.
Show respect of how he made our world
and obey his commandments.
I want to help other people, and I want to live with Heavenly Father again.
And I love him very much.
Oh, don't you just love that? The innocence of children sharing who they think Jesus is. Perfectly one. It's so beautiful, the innocence of children. Now, unfortunately, that's where a lot of adults are right now. At that level of belief, understanding, and perspective about this person called Jesus. So as we grew up, we started looking at other religions, like Buddhism, for instance, and say, well, what does that mean compared to Jesus? So here's another little audio about comparing this Jesus that children learned about and what it means. We got a little bit more knowledge and understanding, especially with the internet. The internet gives us all kinds of information, especially about Egypt and Kemet. That's where a lot of us started really waking up. But listen to this comparison. Now, you heard the child's version, the innocent version of who Jesus is. Now, let's listen to a little bit more mature perspective on who this Jesus is.
One day, a university student, while visiting Gazan, asked him,
the university level now.
Have you even read the Christian Bible? No, read it to me, said Gazan. The student opened the Bible and read from St. Matthew. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Take, therefore, no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Gazan said, whoever uttered those words, I consider an enlightened man. The student continued reading, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Gazan remarked, that is excellent. Whoever said that is not far from Buddhahood. You see life in your life. If you asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. If you really ask yourself, and are truly honest with yourself, you shall always receive the right answer. And that what you are looking for, you will find. Because man is what man thinks about. No matter what religion you follow, there is something about being real and honest, which explains a pure heart. So don't wear your religion in your clothes or in your beard. Wear your religion in your heart. This is Dare to Do Motivation Stories. Thanks for watching.
Okay, so we went a little higher in our educational experience. We compared Jesus to the enlightened one, Buddha. I remember telling someone they were a Buddhist, And they were, and this is a Christian now, and they go, how dare you call me a Buddhist, blah, blah, blah. And because of the ignorance, we don't know that the word Buddha means enlightened one. It's not about, that's not the name of the person who developed, the, who became the Buddhist religion. But Buddha means enlightened one. So when we compare Jesus to Buddha, all we're saying is that we've had two enlightened energies, two enlightened beings come to the planet and teach us about things like love and compassion and wisdom. So that was the next level of our education about Jesus was, okay, the children said he had blue eyes, blonde hair. He was a man up in the father up in the sky. That was Sunday school. We said, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Many black people were like, blue eyes? Oh, okay. On from the plantation life, we were believing that for a while. Blue eyes, Jesus, got to worship this blue-eyed, blonde-haired devil, blah, blah, blah. So we start thinking about that in the cultural black community. Like, really? Is Jesus blue-eyed, blonde-haired? And we go deeper and say, well, he had skin like bronze, hair like wool. Oh, maybe this is not true what we were taught in Sunday school. So we continue to grow and grow and grow, and we're getting closer to divine responsibility. But here we are in 2022, and we still have people believing things like, I was watching some videos that people posted from that Facebook question or comment, and there's a lot of people who went to Jesus because they were fooled by, let me see, crystals and Reiki and psychic readings. And there's a lot of testimonies about witchcraft to new and new age beliefs, and they went back to Jesus. And then there's a quote, these people, quote, had genuine love for God, but they were obsessed with psychedelics and witchy stuff. You know, that stuff like meditation and crystals, that witchy stuff. And then another video, they went from freedom from demons of new age, quote, like yoga and the occult and the kundalini. So they're real strong on Christ, and Christ consciousness, that phrase that teaches people in a perverted way to think they're gods instead of little sinners. And then not surrender our lives to Jesus. He came to teach us to be like him. And if we don't surrender our lives to Jesus, then we're in that witchy stuff. And then one more said, from new age to Jesus, she had freedom from the deception of psychic readings and Satan masquerading as an angel of light, one of many ascended men. Okay, so the language is all over the place, shall we say, from psychic readings to crystals and kundalini yoga. It's all witchcraft. So we really ought to get into etymology at some point in our journey, like I did and many of us, to understand what these words really mean. And in my humble opinion, a lot of these words are just ancient terms that have been written, rewritten. People are using ancient truths like yoga, and they've translated it into, quote, yoga, when it was really an ancient behavior that went on many thousands of years ago. So I'm just fascinated at how some of these young people think they know everything. They're very dogmatic in their belief about everything, like I was too. But we're going to go to the next audio of thinking about who this Jesus is, because we're going to university level where we look at Buddhism and Jesus and say lots of similarities, enlightened ones here. They're teaching us about things we need to know. So this one is more Sadhguru comes to us and says, well, what is this Christ person? He's Indian now. You got to know Indians don't worship Jesus, but they love him. They love Jesus, but they don't worship him like Americans do. So the wisdom that Sadhguru brings, I think, is worth thinking about before we go to the break. Here we go. Well, Sadhguru brings a little bit more wisdom.
Jesus is not a good man. Maybe he's wonderful, but not a good man. If you don't let that man rise within you, then you will remain good and dead. That part of you which has been kept dead for too long it's time to raise it.
This is fun.
Whatever they are referring to as Jesus is not about some man 2,000 years ago. It's about a certain possibility within every human being. So that has to rise. It's not that there is no Jesus in you. It's just you kept him hung, impotent. He needs little empowerment. He needs to be raised. So the whole effort is that part of you which we can call Jesus or Shiva or whatever you like, to allow that to rise. Can you say Shiva is a good man? No, but he's fantastic. Even Jesus, not a good man. Wonderful, not a good man. Anybody who disturbs the existing situation is not a good man, isn't it? Yes, sir. In any given situation, someone who disturbs your family situation, somebody who disturbs your social situation or political situation, national or international situation, is not a good man in that society, isn't it so? So Jesus is not a good man. Maybe he's wonderful, but not a good man. Shiva, definitely not a good man. But fantastic he is. If you don't let that man rise within you, if you do not let that aspect rise within you, then you will remain good and dead. Dead is good. Dead is always good. Yes, sir. Once it happened, a five-year-old boy and his mother went to the cemetery. He had never seen a cemetery in his life. This is the first time. The mother was dedicated to one particular grave. She sat down. The boy went about everywhere, reading all the inscriptions on the tombstones. He went through the whole cemetery, read everything and came back to his mother and asked his mother, "Mom, where do they bury all the horrible people?" Every tombstone says this is the most wonderful man. Dead is always good, isn't it? Dead is good. Living is trouble. Because living is trouble, we reduce the living to half dead. 50% life is safe. That's where most people have settled. They must decide, dead or alive. Half dead is not good, isn't it? Once Shankaran Pillai was arrested for mixing horse meat in chicken cutlets and selling. So when he went to the court, there was nothing else to do, so he pleaded guilty. And they asked, "How much horse meat and chicken meat, how did you do?" He said, 50-50 I did. So he got some fine and some kind of thing, and then he came out. His friend asked him, "What did you mean by saying 50-50? He said, "One horse, one chicken." That's 50-50. So this mixture won't work. You have to raise the dead. You really have to raise the dead. That part of you which has been kept dead for too long. It's time to raise it.
Okay, so we've gotten three perspectives on this Jesus person and name, starting at Sunday school, where there was this idea that Jesus had blue eyes, blonde hair, whatever, all the misconceptions, misinformation that we grew up with. And then we started thinking, okay, wait a minute. There's Buddhism over there and here, and then there's Jesus over here, and these are enlightened people. Well, do we have to worship all of them? Let us think about that. So we've been really learning and growing and developing and evolving in this Jesus person's personality and belief. And today, I really said, okay, we've got to talk about this, because I took my grandchildren to church today. And I'll share with you after the break their response. This was their first time going to a Christian church. I think they went with their mother to a Korean church or something. But this was their first day going to a Christian church. So, of course, I asked what they thought. And they weren't in the sanctuary with the adults. They were in the kids' room with toys and all kind of entertainment. And I guess they had a little worship session and a little sermon. But I'm going to share with you what they thought about it and how I respond to the sermon that was going on inside the sanctuary. So we're going to, I think Naima's ready for the commercial break. So I'm going to open up Naima. Latif, your mic is open. She's going to take us to commercial breaks. And when we come back, I'll share with you the most important audio I've heard that helped me have a lot of peace about what is the name Jesus? Why is it so powerful with all the knowledge I have about Hebrew and all that? What is it about this name that is so powerful? So we'll be right back after these messages.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code TheFemaleSolution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
And I believe our executive producer has a comment she'd like to make. I'm going to leave her mic open. Naima Latif, your mic is open. Is Naima Latif there? Check your mute button. Okay, I don't know where Naima disappeared to. Okay, I'll come back. I'm going to come back
muted
to Naima. I want to play this one audio, the last audio. This woke me up, and I'll come back to Naima. This woke me up today big time. I was asking the universe, what is it about the name Jesus that's so powerful? Because some of the people were saying how they've used Jesus to heal people, to heal disease, to slay the devil, to kill the devil, get the devil out. All they had to do was speak the name of Jesus, speak the name of Jesus. And I was asking, what is it about this name? With all the knowledge I have about Yeshua and Hebrew and the Kemet religion and history of Egypt, the connection of the gods of Egypt and Kemet that really are the true Yeshua and Jesus, what is it about this name? And I came across this audio that answered that question for me. So let me play this, and I hope you'll be as much enlightened about it as I was.
What do you please speak about Jesus Christ? What makes him unique among spiritual masters? What can we learn from him?
What can we learn from him?
It is one of the most difficult questions you ask me. Do you know, being born in India, for most of Indians, whether he is Jesus Christ or Muhammad, it's not a problem. You'll ask why? Because they have a picture of Krishna, they have a picture of Rama, and to hang a picture of Jesus, there is no problem. It might be a problem for others. So from childhood, as I remember, I was, it must be 67. How old was I? You can think, 7-8 years old. The Christian missionaries going from door to door in my village. So the organization was India Every Home Crusade. And distributing free literature in Odia language. So that was my introduction to Jesus Christ. I loved him. I loved Jesus. And do you know, my school book, in our school book also there was text from the Bible, the parable of Good Samaritan. It was in my school book. So my love for Jesus got more and more increased because of Gurudev. Because of Gurudev. He often quoted from the Bible, even in India, and he told me to read the Bible. Okay, so to me, as I love Krishna, so also Jesus. And we are celebrating Paramahansa Yogananda's 125th birth anniversary. He kept one side Krishna, one side Christ. So when you think of Jesus, you just think he lived only for 3 years. You'll tell, what does it mean? His period of ministry, teaching. 3 years teaching, and not teaching so-called, just like we think we are intelligent, intellectual, very ordinary people, fishermen, tax collector. Like this, very ordinary people, and tax collector means corrupt. Tax collector means corrupt. So this type of view. And how much impact he had on these people, and who were also, most of them were also persecuted. Most of them. And message of teaching of Christ went from home to home, home to home, home to home. Teachings of Jesus is beautiful. And what can you love from him? The message of Jesus is message of love. Message of Jesus is message of peace.
That was an answer to my question. What is so powerful about this name, Jesus, 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 the message of love and peace? That's just the simplest answer that I could imagine answering the question, why are so many people using that name to heal, to deliver, to get rid of demons? Because with that name carries love and peace, the energy of love and peace. And so that was very satisfying for me to know that I'm on the right path to divine responsibility. I was walking, and then I'm going to open up the mic. I walked through this neighborhood I live in picking up trash all the time. One day I'll take my weights and walk and do my weightlifting. The other day I take like 3 grocery plastic bags just to get trash off the ground. The other day I was walking down the street that comes into this neighborhood. There was so much trash, I was pissed. I was just pissed. Like, why are people doing this to Mother Earth? I'm walking along just, why are people throwing trash? Plastic bottles are the worst. We ought to ban plastic bottles, plastic everything, because people are so irresponsible with the plastic. You would think plastic is a gift. It lightens the load. Instead of glass, you can carry plastic. It's supposed to be convenient, right, to have plastic. But as I go through the neighborhoods and the streets, plastic is the biggest problem. People are throwing it everywhere, even on the playground. I was pissed. What is wrong with people? Why do they keep throwing trash like this? And I just kept going, kept going, kept going. And I got to thinking, okay, this is my job. I'm responsible to be discerning about Mother Earth and the trash people are throwing on Mother Earth. This is me. This is who I am. This is my being. I don't go anywhere unless I leave it better than when I showed up. Everybody's not like me. They walk around ignoring the trash, and my Maisie, I think, is like me. Where I got to pick up the trash, it just bothers me. So the same, and as I was doing this, though, just like my cleaning business, I had a cleaning business where I just couldn't stand to see dust and dirt. I loved cleaning people's houses because I had a chance to really meditate on, why do people have all this stuff? Why do I have to keep all this dust? And walking the street thinking, plastic and all the other trash people are irresponsibly throwing around. I said, we got to get people from Jesus to divine responsibility, to pick up the damn trash at least in your neighborhood. What's the big deal? It is a big deal because people are stuck on this religious thinking that Jesus is my savior and I don't have to do anything else on this planet but worship Jesus and go to church and leave all the trash on the earth. Now, that was my thinking the other day. That's why I came up with this topic. And then it came to me, take your grandchildren to church. So I took my grandchildren to church today with their dad and his girlfriend. And afterwards, my grandchildren were in the kids section. They weren't with us. And afterwards, I said, well, how did you like church? And they said, boring. I'm like, I kind of expected that because everything's boring if they're not on their little tablets or being stimulated by technology and all that. Everything's boring. I said, really, boring? You mean with all the toys they had in there and the playing thing? And they were like, boring. And then their dad asked his son, do you want to go back there? No, don't want to go back. Because they presented them with a message about Jesus and God that I believe they're way beyond that. They're past Sunday school, and that's just my perception and my observation of these two little kids I'm influencing, and I'm responsible. They're beyond the Jesus and God story because they've been in my midst, and I've been talking to them about nature. Jesus, God is out here in nature, and that God is the dog, and God is the bird. So they've been getting that message before they went to the church building. And I think we ought to all remember as we continue this discussion that the scripture says God or the Most High, creator of the universe, does not live in buildings made by man. What does that say? It said to me, for one, sitting in that cold church with that loud music and all those lights and the message that came to me with God and Jesus today is that Spirit of the Most High is not really here. This is all man's idea. So that was all my thinking today, the last couple of days, is that it's time for us to move, if we are ready, when the teacher appears, when the student is ready, all those saying the student is ready, the teacher appears, and I'm here. I'm ready to share my knowledge with all you young people, because most of the videos I watched today about the devils in the stones and the Reiki and all that, it's like, these were young people. So they're on a journey. And so the journey continues tonight as we who are ready to move on from the religious teachings and not pick up the trash is how I see it. You're walking around here, I love Jesus, he's got a cross on you. It's like Sadhguru says, you need to let him rise up in you and start seeing Mother Earth and nature as part of the Most High God and Yahuwah. And stop ignoring the trash that people are irresponsibly throwing on the earth. So let me open up the mic. I know Naima had said she had a comment. Let me see if Naima, your mic is open. Did you have a comment that you wanted to make?
Yes. And good evening to everyone. This is an interesting topic because there are so many people that get deeply emotional when their belief system is challenged. And I'm sure you've seen it, as you said, calling anything so-called new age as demonic and all of that. Well, there's a guest that I hope to bring on at some point. I know she's, you know, super busy with, you know, seminars and all the kind of stuff that she does and speaking, but and I've mentioned this book before, Jesus, My Autobiography, written through trans channel Tina Louise Spalding. And she's got an interesting story as a trans channel. She did 20 different celebrities in a book entitled Great Minds Speak to You, where many people who are considered deceased spoke through her to give a message from the other side so that we could learn from their experience, you know, among them, you know, Princess Diana, Michael Jackson, you know, celebrities like that. And I found that book fascinating. And the last person to speak through her was Jesus. And then she said after she finished that book, he asked her to do his autobiography in order to clear his name because so many negative things have been done in his name. And he said, of course, when he was on the earth plane, the name was Yeshua. But, you know, I guess as the language translated, the name became known as Jesus. And that's how people identify that being in their mind, Westerners. So he wanted to refer to that name in this book, Jesus, My Autobiography, and correcting a lot of the disinformation about his life and his purpose, and of course, which was spreading love and peace. But so much of the teachings were twisted so that people would be disempowered as opposed to being empowered. And his intention was to empower people and remove them from dependency on religious leaders and that whole oppressive structure so that people could know that, you know, God is within you. You know, the kingdom of heaven is within you. You know, you are the expression of the Creator. And so all of that was changed so that we end up worshiping someone instead of taking divine responsibility. So I just found that book, you know, and I've given the book to people that I feel can objectively read it without becoming angry because it challenges all of their deeply held beliefs. But if one reads it with an open mind and heart, then you'll feel that, you know, this is authentic. This makes sense. This appeals to my soul, because here's someone saying that we all have these abilities to transcend. I may be further along the path than you are, but you can do what I'm doing, and even more so, you know, because we're all here to continue to evolve as souls on our journey back to where we came from, which, of course, is the one divine mind of creation. So I'm hoping that at some point we'll be able to have Tina Louise Spaulding on as a guest to talk about the book Jesus, My Autobiography, and maybe even do a channeling session because she's done it on a couple of shows before. I'm just putting that thought out in the universe because I'm part of the community that she started of people who are ready to grow beyond religious indoctrination. But I have really seen some very intense responses to people if their traditional beliefs are challenged. And I guess it's because over centuries, it's literally been beaten into us. I mean, there was a time you could be beheaded if you went against the church doctrine. And so I think that's a large part of our cellular memory, those memories of torturings, beatings, and all of those things where, you know, you just learn, you don't question what the religious leaders tell you. But as you've said, you know, if you meditate, if you listen to what God tells you, that's the answer. And it might not be what the religious leaders are telling you, but you'll know in your heart that it's true.
Well,
so I recommend that book.
There's another book you mentioned. I think it's called Making Love to Jesus. Is that, who is that, Tina Louise?
No, it's Making Love to God. Not the same
Making
thing.
Love to God. Okay.
Making Love to God, which...
Is that,
you know, the reason why people get uncomfortable with the title, because the idea of making love and God, because of what we've been taught about sexuality, is so twisted that we can't see putting the two together. Well, in fact, what I've learned from that book is sexual intimacy is the most powerful energetic force that we have, and it is designed to heighten our spiritual awareness. And so as all of us being expressions of God, when you are uniting with another soul, that spiritual energy exchange, that is what you're doing. You are enhancing the God force in you. And because we're not taught that, we're actually taught to fear that energy and condemn it and minimize it, and it's the most creative energy that we have. So that was another enlightening experience, reading that book and realizing that the creative energy that we have has been suppressed and minimized by religious teachings that make us fear it and condemn it and give power to an institution such as the church and other religious institutions to decide when and whom with we can exchange that energy.
Right.
So that's another book I'd love to have her come on and talk about, because definitely our religions have done more to retard our spiritual growth than anything, because it's all been about control, and that was what Jesus came to remove, is the control of religious leaders over our relationship with God.
I see making love to God as just a symbolism of intimacy with the spirit, the universe.
Absolutely.
The way I look at these religious terms like Jesus and God is that these are spirits. These are inner. We don't see anything. So it's like if we're going to move from Jesus, Jesus, Yahshua, to divine responsibility, we've got to recognize the energy that we're dealing with, not the man in the sky or God, he, or Jesus on the cross. We're not talking about physical people, beings, or elements. We're talking about spirits right now. Who knows? I know people say, well, I saw Jesus. Well, you did, but he wasn't in the flesh unless it was the spirit of Jesus that's in many people. The spirit of Yeshua is in many people. And that's where we are coming up with this childhood understanding that Jesus is a blue-eyed, brown-haired man with a robe on, when that wasn't even the Hebraic visual that you would get back in that day. We talk about the bronze skin and the hair like wool. Well, yeah, that's one aspect of an individual who might have lived in that time period. But when you study the Egyptian history, many of us know that the whole journey of creating this Jesus character comes from Kemet or Egypt. You go back to Egyptian history, it's all about Herod and all these characters in Egyptian history. They created Jesus from that. So all this knowledge that we think we have about Jesus, first of all, there was no J in the Hebrew alphabet. So we're talking about a language that created a savior named Jesus or Jesus when there was no J. So just going back a few thousand years, we can see that Jesus was a creation of man. The name, the figure, and a lot of it, and then go back thousands of years, and we can see that the Egyptian energy of love and peace, that's what I love about the name Jesus that people are so stuck on. They're slaying, they're getting rid of devils in the house, because the energy of it is love and peace, is as the Indian man said.
Absolutely. And, the myths that have been created to take a person and take the idea of spirituality and the ability to manifest things that we consider miracles because we don't know the metaphysical principles behind them, it's to make that ability so far-fetched that people feel like, well, I can never attain that, because they say, this is a half-God, half-man person. No, this is a human being. It was a human being who got married and had children. And that's what he explains in his autobiography, which can you imagine the church recognizing this person? And he even, speaks about the intimacy and, the fact that that is a spiritual union that is supposed to bring you to higher levels of ecstasy for you reaching that spiritual ecstasy. I mean, it's all of those things that church people wouldn't even be able to stand hearing because of the way they have created this figure into a myth as opposed to the real human being. But when you meet the real human being, you go, now this is somebody I really like. That other person, I don't really understand that. You're dying for my sins. Well, none of that. He explained what the whole crucifixion was about. It was not about dying for people's sins. It was showing his followers that death is not real. There is no death. This body, you can recreate a body. You are the eternal spirit. You are the eternal life force. No one can kill you. And once you know that, then you don't accept oppression because nobody can threaten you with death because there is no death. That was the lesson he was showing with the crucifixion. So as I read that, I thought, now that is powerful. This other teaching, it just makes me sad, thinking, God had to torture somebody so we could be forgiven. That doesn't make me happy. So I can understand your grandchildren not caring too much for church, because I know when I was a child, forced to go to Sunday school, that was the saddest story I ever heard, and I did not like that. That made me very sad. How could God be that mean? That's how I always felt, and it never sat right with me, that teaching at all. So I understand your grandchildren perfectly. Just saying, no, that ain't your grandma. Sorry.
Your grandma has to carry him on to the next level of cosmic truth now. But I know it's time for another break, so if you want to take us to another commercial break, then we're going to come back. I think Mama AZ has her hand up. And if we have time, I want to play the allegory about Jesus that maybe people will be able to understand that this is about symbolism, allegories, more than it is about a true figure named Jesus. And we can all move to picking up the trash on Mother Earth. That's a simple action that might bring you blessings. I believe the reason I'm so blessed today is because I held that consciousness for 5 years in the rural area that I was going to pick up trash wherever I went. And my blessings just got better and better and better, because I believe it's a karmic thing, the simple act of picking up trash and blessing Mother Earth. That's probably a lot of our problems today in our society, because people are unconscious and not taking responsibility for Mother Earth, the person who brings you your food, or the energy, the earth that brings you your food. You're showing disrespect and irresponsibility by throwing your plastic all over the earth. And then believe me, it's everywhere, because everywhere I go, I see plastic on the ground. So, Naima, I'm going to take a deep breath, while you take us into a commercial.
All right. Come on.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Uplifting comments about the autobiography of Jesus that's been written by someone who channels and who's in touch with that divine energy. Jesus is all energy. Jesus is not God in the flesh. We're all Yah in the flesh. We're all, I don't know what people thinking about when they say, well, Jesus is the Son of God and he's the Savior of the world. We all thought that in kindergarten or in Sunday school. But it's time to grow out of that thinking and become responsible Christians or responsible human beings so we can clean up Mother Earth. We're going to destroy Mother Earth at this rate. We're already halfway into the destruction of Earth again, as some people would say. So we're going to destroy just with the damn plastic in the ocean. We need to wake up, people, and start being responsible and stop living like we're in Sunday school. Mama AZ, welcome. I know you understand what I'm saying, Mama AZ, about trash and on the ground. Go ahead.
Oh, my bejesus.
Oh, don't get you started.
My God. Can you hear me, Dr. V?
Yes, you're doing fine. Thank you.
I just love the freaking bejesus out of you. Dr. V, I don't know where you came from. But I know we have had many, many lives together. You, me, Brother Kwame's son, Horace, okay? Let me tell you, you have no idea of what this show represents. I want to dedicate this to my family, especially my brother, who is a Virgo, down there in Phoenix, Arizona, Bobby Paris, and all of my children, the Lewises, the Crawfords, the Parises, the Cunninghams, and the whole nine yards, Dr. Z, all of them, and my great-grandchildren, my great-grandson, Jaden. His Earth Day was yesterday, the same day that Reverend Allen made his transition in San Francisco, okay? For those who do not know Reverend Allen, Reverend A.A. Allen, who created Miracle Valley, the Bible College here in Miracle Valley, Arizona, just like Tina Louise Spalding, Reverend Allen channels through me because I allow it. Today is a six. Reverend Allen's numbers are 8 and 6. If you add up all of those digits, and thank you, Brother Harris, the gematria man over there in Chicago. All right, Eddie Harris. Now, numbers mean everything, family, and I give thanks to my mom for allowing me to come through her gate. And I must say this, family, for all of those people who do not have the inner standing or the overstanding to forgive your parents for whatever they did to you, if they raped you, if they sodomized you, my mom was down to the bone, bodacious alcoholic. Okay, that's how I ended up with alcohol fetal syndrome, brittle bones. However, I chose this journey so that I could come back and be able to express the journey that I've had coming out of this woman's gate, because it afforded me to be on the level of Tina Louise Spalding, you, Dr. V, you, Brother Kwame Sunhorse, even you, Brother Andrew Nelson, if you're chimed in, and you especially, Dr. Ortiz, because of your husband that I met at the march, in the Black Indian March in Washington. The rest is history, okay? Dr. V, you are an amazing human being. And that is what Reverend Allen channels through me. I asked the same thing you did. It's freaking believable. I was just questioning that yesterday. And here you come with the, I'm not BSing you about the freaking freeway. You hear you come with this show, and I'm saying, what the hell is this? Everybody is Jesus. Pray to Jesus, and you'll be healed. Jesus, if you say the word Jesus, your leg will grow 3 inches. You just have to say Jesus. If you don't say Jesus, your leg won't grow. I'm like, what the? You know what? I won't be nice. Anywho, Dr. V, thank us. Bobby Paris, let's get on board this train and ride in a good way, family, because it's time to get off of the nonsense. Take bags with you and help to pick up the trash. Teach your children how to pick up trash and not just walk around it and let it clutter up the earth. Do you hear me now? Thank us.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you, Dr. V.
You know, my grandchildren have, we've done several trash walks, and I had to pay them the first round. I was like, okay, but
it's okay.
You know, I made a mistake, though, because I offered them, like, 50 cents or a dollar or something. I ended up owing them $50 because there was so much trash. For every item you pick up, they would count one, two. We got up to $50. I'm like, oh, boy, I owe $50. So I gladly paid it. And every now and then when we go, now they're riding their bikes, so I can't ask them to pick up trash. But, yeah, they were willing, and they actually were enjoying it. I started when they were like, okay, one was about four and the other one was seven or six. So you got to start it early and make it fun, and maybe some reward in there because they like rewards and money's becoming more important at their age. So, yeah, let's just start early because nobody else is doing it, and these kids need to be responsible about the earth.
Dr. V, they're not kids. They're not goats.
Right.
I have to agree with Mama D.
Yes.
They are the children. We're not goats. Thank us.
But you know what? I learned something about that kid thing. When I was living in my tiny house and a lady had a farm next to me, and she bought in some goats, and she had some kids, the goats had kids. So they were walking around. She'd let them out and let them eat the grass. And she was telling me about the nature of these kids, and I said, you know what? That makes it okay to call baby kid. I forget what she was saying. But it was so in line with the nature of children and how they behave. And I bet see, that's the thing about the lamb of Yah, is that the lamb is a meek and soft and gentle animal. So the lamb is just a symbolic word. Any animal that we use, you know about how when we see birds, we look at the nature, what is the message, right, of that animal. So if we called a child a kid, we just need to understand what's the nature of a kid. Because they are, some of them do act like kids in terms of goats' children. You know what I mean? So I found out living on that, in that, mm-hmm. near that farm mm-hmm. and watching the nature of these kids, these goat babies, that they in fact do act like children sometimes. So we should look into that. So I don't feel too bad calling them kids because there's something about the nature. If you look into the nature of lamb children, they are just like our children sometimes.
Okay.
And
well,
so thank you for pointing that out because we're learning every day. I am not going to be dogmatic about things anymore because after today and the message I heard about Esther, that was really powerful. I'm going to share that with you after this allegory message about Christ, Jesus. We don't have to, but we can move into divine responsibility by looking at allegories and symbolism, just like seeing red cardinals in my yard. They're everywhere. Let me tell you about this. I have a magnolia tree in my yard, and this tree is giving off, if you know how magnolias smell, it is like perfume. And it's giving, these flowers are slowly blossoming, and every time I see one that's close to blossoming, I keep my eye on it. As soon as it starts giving off that beautiful perfume smell, I pick it off, bring it in my place, and just watch it die, unfortunately. The leaves start turning brown within a couple of days, but the smell is there. And so I looked at that magnolia in a very symbolic way now of nature giving us sweetness, nature giving us what we need in life in the moment, a sweet smell or beautiful white magnolia blossoms. And everything in nature has that type of message for us that it's giving. Nature is a very giving element and aspect of our journey. So that's why we don't have to have this Jesus character as our savior. We got every magnolia trees, and we've got blueberry bushes that right down the street from me that nourish me. And all these things, that the gifts from the universe all around us. I've got this plant called purslane, P-U-R. S-L-A-N-E. You need to find that at Home Depot. It's food. You can eat the whole thing, flowers and all. My friend turned me on to this, who I used to live with. You can eat, I just planted two more purslane in the ground. I have three purslane in the ground. If all the food runs out, I can live off purslane because it has high in amino acids, and it tastes almost like, I don't know, it's like a spinach, a thick spinach with flour. You can eat the flowers too. So nature, and I'm sure that my son has so many weeds in this yard. I'm sure there's food in this yard under my feet. Because I look at some of the plants and I'm like, that looks like food. That's not just a regular weed. That's food. When we begin to take our eyes off religious characters like Jesus and recognize the love and peace in that energy of him, but also the love and peace in the nature around us, how peaceful and loving it is for the Creator to give us magnolia trees and purslane plants to eat. We've been so deceived, and this is the season of challenge that we have with this psychopathic government and warmongers. This is the season to come out of all this deception and lies and deceit. And listen
Dr.
to the allegory. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. In my meditations back here, you've been over here to the Gables Resort. I give offering in my meditation meditations around my stones. Now, according to Alicia, she snapshotted it on that app. It says, I have wild tobacco. I have some of the prettiest wild tobacco growing around those stones and around the dandelions. And I'm like, wow, what's that about? You know?
That's very interesting.
Yeah, I hope Brother Kwame is somewhere with the ear on it to tell us what could that mean. And can you eat wild tobacco like greens?
Ah, that's a good question. But let me play this audio while we're listening.
Okay.
We'll call on Kwame. I'll send him a text and ask him that question while we're listening to an allegory about Jesus.
All right, guys, so this video is about how the New Testament, also the Old Testament as well, are actually allegories for mastering the body and raising the Christ within you. So I'll be reading from God-Man, the Word Made Flesh. And this is on page 89, The Christ Within Process. The Essenes fully realized and taught the great truth that Christ was a substance, an oil or ointment contained especially in the spinal cord, consequently in all parts of the body, as every nerve in the body is directly or indirectly connected with the wonderful river that flows out of Eden, which is the upper brain, to water the garden. The early Christians knew that the scriptures, whether written in ancient Hebrew or the Greek, were allegories, parables or fables based on the human body, fearfully and wonderfully made. These adepts knew that the secretion, which is the gray matter, which is creative, which issues or secretes from the cerebrum, was the source and cause of the physical expression called man. And they knew that the river of Jordan was symbolized in the spinal cord and that the Dead Sea was used to symbolize the sacred plexus at the base of the spinal column where the Jordan, which is the spinal cord, ends, typifying the entrance of Jordan into the Dead Sea. The thick, oily, and salty substance comprising the sacral plexus, which is the quadra equina, tail of the horse, may be likened unto crude petroleum, tetra, mineral, or salt, and oleum, Latin for oil, and the thinner substance, oil, or ointment, is the spinal cord, may be compared with coal oil, and when this oil is carried up and crosses the ida and pingala, the two fluid nerves that end in a cross and medulla oblongata, where it contacts the cerebellum, Golgotha, the place of the skull, this fluid is refined as coal oil is refined to produce gasoline at a higher rate of motion that causes the ascension of the airship. When the oil is crucified, crucify means to increase in power a thousandfold, not to kill it. It remains 2.5 days, the moon's period and sign, and the tomb, which is the cerebellum, and on the third day ascends to the pineal gland that connects the cerebellum with the optic thalamus. The central eye in the throne of God, that is the chamber, overtopped by the hollow or haloed caused by the curve of the cerebrum, the most high of the body, which is the temple of the living God, the living vital substance, which is a precipitation of the breath of life breathed into man. Therefore, the Holy Ghost or breath, the pineal gland, is the pinnacle of the temple, the modus operandi by which the oil of the spinal cord reaches the pineal gland is described in what follows. There is no name under heaven whereby ye may be saved except Jesus Christ and then crucified, which is the correct rendering of the Greek text. Every 29.5 days, when the moon is in the sign of the zodiac that the sun was in at the birth of the native, there is a seed or psychophysical germ born in the or out of the solar plexus, the manger, and this seed is taken up by the nerves or branches of the pneumogastric nerve and becomes the fruit of the tree of life, or the tree of good and evil, good if saved and cast upon the waters, circulated to reach the pineal gland, and evil if eaten or consumed in sexual expression, the physical plane, or by alcoholic drinks, or gluttony that causes ferment, acid, and even alcohol in the intestinal tract. Thus, no drunkard can inherit the kingdom of heaven, for acids and alcohol cut or chemically split the oil that unites with the mineral salts in the body and thus produces the monthly seed. This seed, having the odor of fish, was called Jesus from ichthos, Greek or fish, and nun, Hebrew for fish. Thus Joshua, the son of Nun, I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. The fruit of the tree of life, therefore, is the fish bread, of which thou shalt not eat on the plain or animal or Adam. Earth, dust, a surplus of sulfur. It is very evident that the Old Testament referred more especially to the cosmic processes of ascension, whereas the New Testament to those processes within man, since as above, so below, there is nothing in the universe that is not within man.
Now, that information would probably be considered New Agey by a lot of religious people, because it's a very unique thought about the human body or the kingdom. To be consistent and not have what I think they might call cognitive dissonance. Let me see. I pulled up cognitive dissonance is the state of having inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, or attitudes, especially as relating to behavioral decisions and attitude change. That's, they use that phrase a lot lately with the drama around our politicians and political misinformation and what people are believing about what's going on in our world. But if we were consistent about what we read in the New Testament, for instance, where Christ says the kingdom is within, the kingdom of God is how it reads, is within. What does that mean? Okay, this guy just explained what that means in a very deep way, in a very metaphysical way about the cerebellum and the spinal cord being all related to, quote, Jesus Christ. This is about the kingdom within. This is why I love what I do in explaining to people every Friday morning how the physical body is a massive, a master communication a computer and all the things that go on. I love researching about what's going on inside of this body. But what religious people thought, think like, instead of being divinely responsible for this kingdom within, this is where I'm going tonight, is this is a kingdom within. That's written in the New Testament. That's what Christ went around talking about all over the Middle East, if you were to think of that character as Jesus or Yeshua, that this is a kingdom within. It was all about the kingdom within. He's constantly focusing on the kingdom within. So what is the kingdom within? It's a cerebellum. It's a brain. It's a spinal cord. It's a heart. There's 10 major systems that are operating inside of us. And the big question for all of us living on planet Earth now is, what system are you on? What system are you consciously operating on? Are you on the system of the fear mongers and the government and the big pharmaceutical? Are you in that system of thought and behavior? Or are you on the system we just heard, an allegory about Christ and the cerebellum and the brain and the pituitary gland? This is not New Age thought, brothers and sisters. This is reality. And the reality that most of us live in is invisible. The invisible reality is viruses and bacteria and microbes and fungus. And the invisible reality is the kingdom within that we don't see. We never see it unless you're in an operating room cutting people open. So we want to get from the religious idea that we need a savior to go to heaven. And there's a saying I wanted to quote, that religious people believe that religious people are afraid to go to hell, that they're going to go to hell, and spiritual people have already been to hell. So they've been to hell. They experienced the worst of this journey and all that, and they become spiritual because they come out of religious thinking. And we still have a lot of religious people, though, who haven't experienced hell and don't know what it means to think metaphysically, spiritually, overstand things, and get into divine responsibility. I think the moment our starseed went into our mother's womb, our divine responsibility began. We came out of that womb and we forgot about our divine responsibility to pick up the trash on Mother Earth, for instance. Don't let me go on that rant again. I'm going to let Naima Latif has our last group of commercials to play, and then we'll be right back with my analysis of Esther today. I sat in this cold church with lights glaring and loud music, but I got a beautiful message about the book of Esther that I want to share with you to help us go into divine responsibility from the religious thinking about Jesus the Savior to divine responsibility for all of us. So Naima Latif, your mic is open if you want to play our last group of commercials.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry. You are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Okay, we're back, and we're back. If you're just joining us, we're on an exciting journey and adventure from the religious Jesus to divine responsibility. So I hope you've been hearing. If not, you can always go back and listen in the archives. And tomorrow, you don't want to miss Zelda's Monday morning mindfulness with Zelda breathing and all the good things you need to start your week. Her topic is part two of fatherhood and masculinity. Why is it disappearing? If you missed last week, you need to go back and listen to part one. But tomorrow she'll be talking about fatherhood and masculinity. We had a great discussion last Monday, so don't miss it tomorrow. So we're talking about moving, a journey, adventure from Yeshua, Jesus, to divine responsibility. So this topic came up to me because for several reasons. I was picking up trash, and when I do things like pick up trash and clean houses, I hear from spirit really strongly about everything, and I was just asking questions. And as Mama AZ said, we both were asking the same question. What is it about this Jesus that everybody's still using to get rid of devils and all this? And the question was answered for me, and I think for many of us, that as the Indian wise man said, because they look at, even in India, they love Jesus because Jesus represents love and peace. And that energy is ancient. From Kemet history, there were other figures who had rose from the dead and 3 days in the grave, and all the numbers around the life of Jesus, 30 years on earth, 33 here, they're all Kemet history, all Kemet. Do your homework. Go back to ancient Egyptian history. There are several men, male figures, who had the numbers that we see around the life of Yeshua, Jesus, that came forward almost like plagiarism to create this Jesus who has a J instead of a Y. But today I went to church with my grandchildren. This is their first time in a Christian church. They're going to be 8. My granddaughter will be 8, and then her brother will be 6 next week after her. And this is their first time in a Christian church. I wanted them to have this experience as like a foundation that I have. And they had that experience today. They had fun in the kids' room. And then they had to sit down and listen to a little kids' lecture or a kids' sermon and music and all that. And after it was all over, they said they were bored silly. So it just means that grandma's going to take over, and their lessons about spirituality and Jesus and all that. We're going to have lots of good lessons on what that means, and that's my role. So I sat in this very cold church and hearing this. And when we first got there, the music was so loud. And I was like, oh, my goodness, will I be able to stand this? So I did. The music was loud. The air was cold. And the sermon was about, if you know the book of Esther, it doesn't even mention Jesus or God in the book of Esther. That's the interesting thing about Esther that many sermons will point out. They don't mention Jesus or God in there. Esther is all about divine providence. How a young lady like Esther, who is the most unlikely person to become queen, becomes the queen. And she had divine providence over her whole life. Her mother and father were dead. Talk about traumas in your life. Her mother and father, her uncle was raising her, Mordecai. And the sermon was developed in such a way to bring out for us what we need today to remember how sovereign we are and that we are the secret weapons. Because just as Esther had been prepared to become the queen, to be in the perfumes and to be part of the women who would be asking the king questions and be presented to the king. Just as this woman, this Jewish young woman was prepared, being prepared to be the secret weapon for a future time, that's what's happening to us. I think all of us who survived the Twilight Zone drama of COVID and the jabs and all that, we are the secret weapons now. We have the knowledge, we have the experience, and we have the wisdom to pull down the strongholds and to overcome anything that comes our way. And we have to ask ourselves, whose system are you on? And take responsibility. Now, if you're in the government system and you feel like you don't have to take responsibility, that you're a victim and you need reparations because they did you wrong and they did your parents wrong and your ancestors wrong, move over. Because we are the secret weapons that we're not asking the government for anything much other than what they owe us. And we got our antennas up to filter the bullshit out real quickly. That's how I see this, that message. Esther was asking the question, are you in the world or the kingdom? But this is your time. That was the message for this sermon today, saying this is your time. The whole sermon. This is your time. Going back to Esther. Look what Esther did. Her time came after she was prepared to become queen, and then she had to save her people from death because she was prepared to do that. So if you read the book of Esther, there's so much more there. But it became to me a message about human responsibility. Whose system are you on? If you're on the system that we just heard about, the allegory of what this human vessel is, this is the system we have to be more aware of. This is a kingdom within us that has so much power. So much power. We don't need a savior. This is the savior right here. The savior is up here in the pineal gland. If you heard the allegory about Jesus, you heard how the whole story of Christ is about this body, the pineal gland, all the cerebellum, the spinal cord. Remember, the spinal cord is also where the vagus nerve is activated and runs from the brain stem all the way down the spinal cord. It's no accident. It's no accident that we have had Haman in the book of Esther, the evil man, the person who was trying to kill the Jews. I think his name was Haman. So Haman comes along and he's got he's lying. And Haman came from way back years ago. They didn't kill his parents when they should have because of their evil deeds. And so Haman came forward to become the threat to the Jews in the book of Esther. And Haman ended up being destroyed because of who? Esther, who had been prepared all those years to become royalty, goddess. Whatever you want to call us, goddess, royalty, conscious ones. We've been prepared for this. And so now is the time to let go of these religious ideas and embrace your responsibility as a divine, sovereign queen or goddess and teacher, whatever name you want to put on yourself. But now is our time. The government, this is the latest Haman Act, if you will, that's coming out of Washington, D.C. That's where the Haman people live, that the government is preparing. Let me get this right. The government, President Brandon, is preparing vaccinations for children under 5 years old. I think that's how it goes. So there's Haman. This is an example of Haman. President Brandon is making 10 million doses of COVID jabs available for children under five before the FDA even authorizes this. So Haman in the form of Brandon. See, Brandon wasn't killed earlier in the story, and so we got Haman rising up now. And who's going to destroy Haman and Brandon and all the queens who have the mind of Christ? We don't have to have the Savior in our thinking, but we have to take on the mind. Now, I know some of you are saying that's New Agey, and we are not GODs. No, I'm not a GOD. I am the essence of the Creator. Everything about me, the kingdom within me. And so if we're going to destroy Haman in the form of the Washington, D.C. Warmongers and the President Brandon making 10 million doses of vaccines for children under five, and it hasn't even been authorized. This is Esther all over again. So we can look at all those stories in the Bible as happening right now. Haman is amongst us everywhere. And how do we destroy Haman? How do we suppress Haman? How do we get rid of the evil Hamans in the society, in our world? We become Esther. We are Esther. Some of us may have actually been Esther thousands of years ago, if you think of reincarnation, but don't say that to religious people, because that's like New Agey. So if you're going to overcome the current Hamans in our midst, we got to be Esther's, which means you got to ask yourself, whose system are you on or in? Whose system are you in? Are you in the kingdom system within you, or are you in the system of religious thinking that says you need to save? Now, you can call on Jesus all you want. That may be very effective for you, because that represents the energy of that name represents love and peace, love and peace, love and peace. You can also take hold of the energy, the mind of Yeshua, the Messiah, and activate all the kingdom within you. And how do you activate all the kingdom? Well, Mama AZ shared with me that someone shared with her she needs a certain crystal to help her leg to heal. Is that New Agey? Is that blasphemy? What are crystals? When somebody says crystals are New Age, what are crystals? They're from Mother Earth, which people are trashing every day. Don't let me get started. The Mother Earth gives us crystals from the Earth. Why is that so hard to understand? Because the Church, the Roman Catholic Church, has brainwashed and put spells on people, if you will, that we don't think like that in the Church. We don't think about crystals and Reiki, laying hands. We don't think about Reiki and yoga, heaven forbid. We start blending the mind, body, and soul together in yoga movements and stretching. We become, but if we put all that Haman ignorance aside, we can build the kingdom within, which is all energy. And guess what? The kingdom within is all love. If you think all this body is not all love, you need to go back to Sunday school. It's okay if you go back to Sunday school. That's where you belong, in Sunday school. Some of us are ready to graduate, though. We want to move on with this drama show, and we want to become Esthers of the world. Even the men in our lives can become Esthers. Because some of the men have got too much testosterone that they need to settle down a little, bring down the testosterone, raise up a little more estrogen, and become balanced in both their female, male energy. So before we go, I want to have a meditation. You got to breathe out this session, because taking on divine responsibility is activating the breath. Activating the breath every day. Deep breathing. That's what activates the kingdom within. The kingdom within is activated with deep breathing every day. Forget about the new agey talk out there that you can't do deep breathing and you do yoga. Go back to Sunday school. But we want to activate the breath every time we come together because we're becoming Esther. That was the message that I got today from a church bishop. I think he was a bishop. And I learned from my grandchildren that much of the stuff they're teaching in churches is boring. When you think about the excitement of activating this powerful kingdom that we live in and seeing the power that can come from your hands, the power that can come from your mind, the power that can come from your words, the power that can come from the love and peace in your heart, which is Yeshua, Jesus. So let's do some breathing together. Earth my body, water my blood. I think that's the one I was thinking of. Well, actually, there's some female energy healing music that we can just close our eyes and meditate on, and then we'll come back. I think we have enough time to do both. We're going to do, this is female energy healing music. It's a little more upbeat, but we want to just close our eyes and become Esther with this music. That healing energy. Now let's just slow it down and do some breathing. Take in
four in, hold it, four out, hold it, four at the bottom. And take in the breath of life. This is the Creator's energy that is given to us every day, every hour, every minute to help us heal our body. Let's just breathe together in and out. Four in, four, hold it, four out.
Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath and fire my spirit. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I carry fistfuls of leaves, I make love to the breeze. I carry fistfuls of bones. I trust they will lead me home. I carry grief on my wings. I know a caged bird. Through many turns of this moon, my women have suffered wounds. But my grandmother's with me. Close your eyes, can't you see? And my grandchildren are here. The rose, the crow, and the deer. I am surrounded by light, the light of stories. I need to quiet my mind, I need to listen. We are surrounded by light, the light of stories. We need to quiet our minds. Earth my body, water my body, air my breath and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my spirit. Earth my body, earth my body, water my blood, air my breath and fire my.
All right, one more breath in. Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it, and exhale. And Mama AZ, we heard from Kwame. He says it has to be dried out. So if you've got tobacco growing in your midst, make sure you dry it out. Before you think of eating it. That's great, though. Creator has given us all kinds of plants these days, so don't worry about food shortages. And just remember, Mother Earth is your body. If you take care of Mother Earth, get the trash up, get the plant. Say, not on my watch. I walked around today saying, no, not on my watch. This ain't happening. You ain't going to trash up my neighborhood. Not on my watch. So let us take that attitude about Mother Earth, your body. That's your body. And the Creator is going to give you all kinds of plants to eat when you take care of Mother Earth. If you don't take care of Mother Earth, you're not going to get what you need to sustain your life and to live. So we're going to say goodnight. We're going to start our our closing, our thank you ending. And I want to say Sada for hanging in here with me tonight. And may you go forth to power and light, taking responsibility.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows. Listen to our radio shows. Order our books. And be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution.
That carry peace and love.
On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion.
Energy coming forward.
And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you.
But we
to our family in China,
blood and blood with it. No,
India, Zanyaba, Japan, Kalingapo, Korea,
Kamsamida,
Russia,
Siba,
Germany, Yankee, Poland, France,
Merci,
Spain,
Gracias,
Italy,
Grazie,
Egypt,
Shukran,
Ghana,
Madasi,
Nigeria,
Eshe,
South Africa,
Giyabonga,
Senegal,
Get it.
Kenya.
Asante.
Israel.
Toda.
Pakistan.
Shukriya.
Afghanistan.
Tashakur.
Saudi Arabia.
Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you.
And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.